Hey, thank you, Brother Brandon. And, you know, I caught him. He did just fly in and got in here at 4 o'clock and caught him off guard, and he was willing to do this. So he's a great friend, and we're excited that Tara and Brandon are here to stay with us this week. And it's a joy to always have them and fellowship with them. And so I greet you here this night in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I greet all those online as you're joining in this night. Another beautiful day in the house of the Lord. You know, we had business today, and now we're going to hear the Word of God. And you know, this time of year is wonderful when we have our brothers and sisters from all congregations gathering together. And what a way, you know, we have that desire. We're united as we all love our God, and we love each other. And it's just a special time of year. And so, you know, the Lord placed on my heart a message that will help us strengthen our walk so that we can serve Him better and be victorious. So tonight, the title of my sermon is Victory. Victory. And 1 Corinthians 15, 57 through 58 says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not vain in the Lord." And Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us." You know, He will be there for us. You know, God is here with us always. He's guiding us, helping us through our joys and our struggles in life. He's there always. He's always there with us. But we need to put our focus on Him, seek Him in our lives. He wants us to seek Him. And it's so important that in everything we do, that we seek Him for that guidance. Every day we wake up, we need to ask Him to be there for us. You know, everything we do in our lives contributes to the victory that we are striving for. And I know we all know what that victory is, and we'll touch on it more here. Everything in our lives, you know, little things, big things. You know, I'm going to give us a word to remember. So a few years ago, I gave a word to remember, and I'll talk about that one too. But the word today is corn dog. So, you know, some people might like corn dogs. Some might not. It might bring back childhood. I know I loved a corn dog. I know my mom did not like hot dogs. So the best hot dog to her was a burnt hot dog. So she'd like say, "I want, you know, if there was one on the fire and it was black, that's what she wanted, because she didn't want to taste the hot dog." But corn dog. So at the end of my sermon, if you can remind me, and I'll explain what corn dog means. And so a few years ago, I gave another word, and that word was sauerkraut. So same deal on here, sauerkraut. When you hear that word, some people love it. I know my wife's family, they all love sauerkraut. They're at Thanksgiving, their dressing has sauerkraut in it. Love sauerkraut. And then it could be the other one. You could be the one that says, "Okay, it smells, it stinks. I don't like it." So the story on sauerkraut. I married my wife, and we've had a wonderful marriage. After about 25 years, maybe 25 to 30 years into our marriage, well, let me back up. We ate sauerkraut maybe once a month, maybe once every 2 months, because she loves sauerkraut. And so for all these years, I ate sauerkraut, and it was fine. But at a moment in time, I decided to put a selfishness before me instead of a love for her. And so I decided to tell her, "I don't like sauerkraut." And she was upset. You know, she's like, why wouldn't you have told me this before now? You know, we've been married 25 or 30 years, and I'd been eating sauerkraut. And it wasn't something that I just couldn't gag down. I mean, it wasn't something, it just, I didn't like it. And so, you know, my point to this story is, so the point to the story is, you know, I loved her, I still love her, and hopefully she loves me, but I just never said I didn't like it, because I knew that after, if I would tell her I didn't like it, she wouldn't make it. And I wanted her to have what she likes, and it didn't hurt me to do it. But that selfishness, you know, when do we think of others more than ourselves? That selfishness stepped in, and I feel bad that I wish, we've been married 40 years now, and I wish I would have never told her. But, you know, it's a silly story, but what I'm pointing out here is, we need to do things for others. You know, we need to look at others and their likes and dislikes more than ourselves. Not be selfish. Look at others and show that love that God has shown to us, and that love that we should have. And I'm not saying you have to, on food, have to do that, but it was just something that it was... I knew that, and now she doesn't make it. She doesn't make sauerkraut. I'll order a Reuben every so often, say, let's order a Reuben and split it. And she'll let me do that. But, so that is it. You know, in our lives, we must show that compassion to everybody. And I have a new job. I mean, I've been there 8 months. And I'm with the school district now. I totally switched my profession. I'm with 3, 4, and 5-year-olds in their early childhood center. And it's easy to show these kids compassion. You know, they come in tomorrow. We're on a 4-day work week. Tomorrow I'll go into school. They've been with their mom and dad for the last 4 days, not been at school. And so they're going to come in. Several of them will be crying. They'll be sad. And I'll look at them, and I will say, I'm so glad you're here today. And I love that Spider-Man shirt, or whatever that compliment is. Change their attitude. Give them that love, that compassion. When they fall on the ground, when they hurt themselves, which is many, many times, you know, I will, it's usually hurting their hands, and I'll look at them, and they're usually fine, and I'll just rub their hands, and I'll say, does that feel better? And I'll give them a little hug, and they'll be all better. You know, do we do that as adults? Do we see the needs of others and show that compassion, show that love? You know, it's so, so important in our lives that we look at the needs of others. You know, our brother yesterday came in, and he was having a hard time walking, getting up the stairs. You know, it was, and I could see there was a need, and others saw the need, and you know, we say, we're praying for you. You know, we pray for each other when we see people have a need, and we must have that love and compassion, and share it with others. I'm going to turn to Philippians 2. Okay, and I'm going to read 1-5. Says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You know, so important to remember that. You know, are we looking in love? Are we following the scriptures? Are we doing what is right? Are we following his commandments? You know, as we walk, as we're walking in love, you know, we must live by the Lord's example. He's given us that example. You know, when we are in the world, do we abhor evil? Do we cleave to that which is good? You know, when we see the sins of the world, you know, is it gotten in our heads that it's just the norm? We can't allow it to be just the norm. You know, we must be that example of his goodness. I'm going to turn now to Colossians 3. In Colossians 3, I'm going to start with 1. It says, if ye then be risen in Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Isn't that wonderful there? So then I skip this sometimes, and I'm not going to skip it today because I skip down in there where it says how good we need to be. But here's the next part, and that's why I say abhor evil. It says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. You know, and idolatry, we all know it's something that idolatry is something we put before God. You know, what it could be something simple and something that is not that God would still like us to do, but we must put him first. It says, for which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them, but now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, the elect of God. Now, this is how we should be. Holy and beloved vows of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. You know, it's hard sometimes to forgive, you know, but we must forgive, you know, in all things. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. And be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. You know, do it all in the name of our Lord. You know, do we put our trust and faith in the Lord? You know, all these things I'm going to talk about, you know, I'm talking about that victory. That victory, you know. So as I'm talking, these are building up. Everything we do in life is for that victory. And Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Isaiah 41, 10 says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. You know, we have this wonderful promise that God is with us. You know, we can't fear things in the world. God calls and commands us not to fear. When we let fear take over, we take our eyes off of God and his promises. So if we let fear get in our lives, and it's natural to have fears. It's natural to have fears. But put that trust in God. You know, the Bible is filled with God's love and how he will protect us. We need to place our trust in him in all things. He doesn't say that we won't have troubles, struggles in our lives. You know, we all go through different trials and struggles, and he knows we're going to have those. He didn't say that we're not going to have sadness. We have sadness. But he is always there with us, guiding us through these times, you know, through sadness, through joy. He is there with us. I'll mention, Brandon knows the Chiefs won the Super Bowl this year, I think. But at the rally this year, you know, there was a shooting. You know, no respect. Some people don't have a respect for life. You know, and it was a shooting that was just among some people that were mad at each other, but they hurt innocent people. And, you know, that went on. You know, there's other things that happened. That last week, the collapse of the bridge in Baltimore, you know, just horrible, horrible. You know, earthquakes, different things that happen in lives. But should we live in fear? Should we live in fear? We shouldn't. You know, Isaiah 41, which I just read, 41:10, is our foundational verse to stand for faith in God over fear. And I'll read it again. The key to fearlessness is believing in God and knowing that he is always with us. God will strengthen us. He will help us. God will uphold us. We have his promise, and he will help us fear less. We need to place our trust in him. You know, he's there for us. He's just, and he wants us to seek him. You know, I say this story a lot. One of my favorite stories on people that did not have feared and trusted in God is in Daniel 3. And I'm going to read some of it. I'll paraphrase a little bit, but it's Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. We all know that story. But I think of the faith they had. And could we have that strong of faith if we knew that we were going to be burned up? You know, would we play a little trick and say, well, maybe I'll, inside I'm worshiping God, but you know, I'll act like I'm worshiping the idol. No. They had this faith. They had this strength. And we all know it. It starts out at Nebuchadnezzar. He had, I better turn to it. So Nebuchadnezzar, he was king. He had a gold statue that he wanted people to bow down and worship. Every time they heard the cornet, flute, all these instruments, he wanted them to bow down and worship this. And I'm going to drop down to to 12. So we're at Daniel 3, verse 12. It says, there were certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of all these instruments, I'm going to put you in a fiery furnace. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered. They said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1/7 times more than it won't be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he cast them and to cast them into the fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, their hats, their other garments, and were cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men who took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So hot that they just got close and it burnt the men, the king's men. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near in the mouth of the burning fiery furnace. He spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, the governors, the captains, and the kings, and the counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power. Nor was the hair of their heads singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants and trusted in him, and have changed the king's words and have yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own. You know, he changed his tune. He was in fear then because of the faith that they had. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak any of these things amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made of a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver them after this. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. And here it was. You know, he knew at that point that there was a God. You know, was he a nice guy then? No, he was going to, anybody that didn't worship, he was going to cut him in pieces. You know, so it wasn't, he didn't change that, but he knew from their faith. So how important, you know, it's, I love that story, you know, because these men had so much faith. You know, these men's faith did not waver. And from this, the faith was the example to the king of God's, of the power of God. And so now I'm going to turn, it's the faith chapter, it's Hebrews 11, and I'm going to read the first six verses. So in our walk and being victorious, we must have faith. We must have faith. And in Hebrews 11, first six verses, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For For by it the elders obtained a good rapport. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, and God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And let me see where I'm going to get here. Getting closer. I don't want to keep our young people. I have my young people come up here in a minute, and so Mike is staying a little later for me here. Let's turn to 1 Peter. So we've talked about faith. Now what's next? Hope. Let's go to 1 Peter, and I'm going to start with verse 3. So 1 Peter chapter 1, did I say that? Verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it is tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even unto salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it is revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from the heaven, which things the angels desire to look. Wherefore, gird up your loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, we have hope. You know, after we leave this life on earth, we know there is a better place. And I'm going to turn to Alma on page 448. Alma 19, page 448. I'm going to start with 43. 43-47, it says, behold, it hath been made known unto me, but by an angel, that the spirits of all men, as soon as they departed from the mortal body, yea, the spirits of all men, whether they be good or evil, are taken home to that God who gave them life. And then shall it come to pass that the spirits of those which are righteous are received into a state of happiness, which is called paradise, a state of rest, a state of peace, where there shall They shall rest from all their troubles and from all their cares and sorrow. And then it goes on, it says, and then there it shall come to pass that the spirits of the wicked, yea, which are evil, for behold, they have no part, no portion of the Spirit of the Lord. For behold, they chose evil works rather than good. Therefore, the spirit of the devil did enter into them and take possession of their house. And these shall be they shall be cast out in the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And this because of their own iniquity, being led captive by the will of the devil. Now this is the state of the souls of the wicked, yea, in darkness, and the state of the awful, fearful, looking for of the fury, indignation, of the wrath of God upon them. Thus they remain in this state, as well as the righteous in paradise, until the time of the resurrection. Now there are some, and that's where I want to end. And so, here we are. I usually only read the very first portion of that, and it's that we will have paradise. You know, my mom, when she passed away, right before, she said, "Will you preach my funeral?" And I said, "Anything particular?" And she said that she was looking forward to being with the Lord. You know, are we looking forward to being with the Lord when we're off, when we depart from this earth? And I know we are. You know, I have mentioned faith and hope. You know, now I want to talk about charity, the pure love of Christ. And in this, 1 Corinthians 13, we all know that chapter, and maybe y'all, what time is it? Six? I'll skip over it here. We all know 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I'll read a little bit. But when I was dating my wife, so 42 years ago when we started dating in college, I asked her, "What is your favorite scripture?" And her favorite scripture was 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And, okay, let me read it. Get over here to it. Okay, it says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gifts of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there is prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity." You know, the pure love of Christ. We must have that in our heart. You know, I mentioned her favorite scripture. My favorite scripture is Mosiah 2, and I'm going to turn to that, and it's page 220. I'm going to start with 9. It's Mosiah 2, chapter 2, page 229. It says, I say unto you that if you have come to the knowledge of the goodness of God and his matchless power and his wisdom and his patience and his long suffering towards the children of men, and also the atonement which hath been prepared from the foundation of the world, that thereby salvation might come to him that should put his trust in the Lord, and should be diligent in keeping his commandments, continue in the faith even unto the end of his life. I mean the life of the mortal body. I say that this is the man that receiveth salvation through the atonement which was prepared from the foundation of the world. For all mankind, which ever were, ever since the fall of Adam, or which are, or which ever shall be, even unto the end of the world. And this is the means whereby salvation cometh. And there is none other salvation save this which hath been spoken of. Neither are there any conditions whereby man can be saved, except the conditions which I have told you. Believe in God, believe that he is, and that he created all things both in heaven and in earth. Believe that he hath all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that man doth not comprehend all the things which the Lord can comprehend. And again, believe that you must repent of your sins, forsake them, humble yourselves before God, and ask in sincerity of heart that he would forgive you. And now, if you believe all these things, see that you do them. And that's that important line, see that you do them. I know everyone here believes in God. We know his power. We know what commandments we need to follow, but we need to do them. We need to do them. You know, I've encouraged our teens. I'll have our teens come up here, the ones I have, Rogan, and Micah, and Tyler, and Christiana. So I've encouraged our teens, and this isn't for this, but I was encouraged our teens that I told them Becky had a favorite scripture and my favorite scripture, and then I've encouraged our teens to have a favorite scripture, and that I would ask them periodically, what's your favorite scripture? Because we need to dive in the scriptures. We need to figure out the scriptures, but we also need to figure out what our favorite one is. And so one of them had Psalm, the 23rd Psalm. Another one had James 1, 5 through 7. And I'll encourage everybody here, pick a favorite scripture. Pick that favorite scripture that you believe in. You know, we might have 20 favorite scriptures, but figure out what are your favorite scriptures and study the scriptures. And so I had a pleasure of being with the young people doing a study about 3 weeks ago. And in this study, we focused on how to let our light shine. How to let our light shine. And we all know the verses. I won't read them. It's Matthew 5, 14 through 16. And, the ending says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, glorify your Father which is in heaven. So what you'll see up here is you see the teens, each one, there was no wrong answer, no right answer. I mean, if I saw it, I might say that is wrong. But at least I didn't have to do that. I did not have to do that. And so we had four categories. We had family. And the green ones represent the things you should do. The red ones were the things you shouldn't do. And they really had fun. I'm going to read you the green ones, which are the things we need to focus on. They had fun on the red ones, and some of them were pretty crazy. But they had fun with it. And these are good teens, great great people. And so with family, what we should do, it says, pray daily. Honor thy parents, do chores. Compromise with siblings, help with chores, and play with your siblings. Respect your parents. Uplift them. Stay calm when you want to yell. You know, and that's true. I mean, that was a good one there. That might have been Tyler's. I don't know who said that one there. But it says, give time for family. Be kind. Help them with stuff. So that was good in your family. And then friends over here with Tyler, I think, it said, read the Bible and the Book of Mormon, you know, with your friends. Lifting others up, helping someone, show compassion, protect them from harm, say something kind, tell them about Jesus, talk about scriptures, respect them, and be kind. You know, we have great thoughts and wonderful. And then in church, and Micah has church here, it says, share your thoughts and opinions, serve on one of the committees, sit quietly, listen and pay attention, stay for all the service, share testimonies, smile at people, and that's a great one, smile at people, pray for someone, talk with others about scriptures, being welcoming, and using your talents to serve. You know, so important we do that. And then social media, which Rogan has here, and the good things were share a good thought. You know, there's so many things, so many bad things that you can do on social media. This is share a good thought, watch good videos, share Bible verses or hymns, give knowledge, be polite, no vulgar language, share scriptures, give encouragement, compliment others, play praise music. You know, so all those wonderful things. And while I have these guys up here now, Christiana does not have hers on, but we have kind of a sock club here. And you want to show your socks? I think Micah has French fry socks on. Rogan has Yoda socks on, and Tyler has banana socks on. I have Travis Kelce football socks on. And if you ask Brian, he'll have crazy socks on probably. So will Rick. So will several people here. And are socks important to our salvation? You know, you think no, but our fellowship and our love for one another. It's something we'll say, what socks are you wearing today? You know, it brings that communication, that love that is important in our lives. Important. So thank you guys. Thank you for your help today. So as I said, everything in our lives we do contributes to victory. That victory we are striving for. You know, it's important that we have our focus on God, following his commandments. You know, there's a saying that says, practice makes perfect. And I'm going to bring up, I think Joel mentioned it, Jay mentioned it, Jeff mentioned it, if we do things, you know, there was this study, if we do things 1 to 3 times, it doesn't necessarily make that effect in our lives. If we do 4 times or more, it shows an effect. It shows success in our lives. And so I want us, to focus on reading the scriptures every day. You know, if we focus on reading it every day, we can at least get those 4 times in, 4 times in the week, because things come up. But if you put in your mind, I'm going to do this every day, it will probably happen. But if it doesn't, you're still going to get over that 4 times. And so how important it is in our lives that we study the scriptures, that we, again, everything we do, You know, when we're in the world, when we're at a grocery store, when we're on the street, you know, are you giving that smile? Are you looking at others for him, for to show the light of God through the things we do? Are we doing that? I want to read from 2 Nephi 13. And this is on page 162. And I think Jeff read some of this yesterday too, but 2 Nephi 13, page 162, and I'm going to start with 19. And it says, "And I heard the voice of the Father saying, yea, the word of my beloved are true and faithful. He that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. And now, my beloved brethren, I know by this that unless a man shall endure to the end in following the example of the Son of the living God, he cannot be saved. Wherefore, do the things which I have told you that I have seen, that your Lord and your Redeemer should do. For this cause have they been shown unto me, that ye might know the gate by which you should enter. For the gate by which you should enter is repentance and baptism by water. And then cometh the remission of your sins by fire and by the Holy Ghost. And then are you in that straight and narrow path which leads to eternal life? Yea, ye have entered in by the gate. Ye have done according to the commandments of the Father and of the Son. And ye have received the Holy Ghost, which witnesses of the Father and of the Son, unto the fulfilling of the promise which he hath made, that if ye have entered in by the way, ye shall receive. And now, my beloved brethren, after that you have gotten into the straight and narrow path, I would ask if all is done." And we know the answer to that. And I think most people here, most of the congregation has been baptized. We know what to do. We've went through it here. And we're in that straight and narrow path. And it says, do we know, is that all we need to do? And it says, "Behold, I say unto you, nay. For ye have not come this far, save it were by the word of Christ, with unshaken faith in him, relying wholly upon the merits of him who is mighty to save. Wherefore you must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men. Wherefore, if ye shall press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. And now behold, my beloved brethren, this is the way. There is none other way nor name given unto heaven whereby man can be saved in the kingdom of God. And now behold, this is the doctrine of Christ, and the only and true doctrine of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, which is one God without end. Amen." Wonderful passage, and we all know the from Matthew 22, 37 through 40, which are the commandments: love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul, and love thy neighbor as thyself. So important, so important, you know. And if we love God, we're going to love our neighbor. We're going to love each other. I want to read a poem, and this poem is by Helen Steiner Rice, and it is "A Sure Way to a Happy Day." It says, "Happiness is something we create in our mind. It's not something you search for and seldom find. It's just waking up and beginning the day by counting our blessings and kneeling to pray. It's giving up thoughts that breed discontent and accepting what comes as a gift heaven sent. It's giving up wishing for things we have not and making the best of whatever we've got. It's knowing that life is determined for us and pursuing our tasks without fret, fume, or fuss. For it's by completing what God gives us to do that we find real contentment and happiness too." And I'm going to turn to 1 Thessalonians 5. So 1 Thessalonians 5, I'm going to start with 16. It says, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. You know, let's do all these things. So important, so important. You know, Isaiah 40, 31 says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with the wings of as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Okay, now it's the time. Can you remind me? Do you remember what word?
Corn dog.
Corn dog. Oh, okay. So, corn dog. So since I have my friend Brandon up here, and he can put, you know, sometimes Cody will say, are you wearing, do you have a Chiefs jersey under there? And occasionally I will have one on. I do not have one on. But Brandon here, the Chiefs fan, come stand up. You don't have to put it on. You can just hold it. He can hold it. So this year I was a little afraid of, the Chiefs weren't doing very good at the end of the season. They had to play the Dolphins, which happens to be Brandon's favorite team, and they're a good team, but the Chiefs were victorious.
But they're a good team.
But they're a good team. Then his other favorite team, since he's in New York, is the Bills. We played them next. Their kicker missed the kick. We won the game. We were victorious. Yeah. So you can hold up this Chiefs jersey.
Thank you, David.
So.
Appreciate that.
So I had thought of this word. And then I actually walked in a store. And the word corn dog. Corn dog. And the word corn dog happened to be the Chiefs' play that won the Super Bowl. And so it says, Tom and Jerry, corn dog for the win, for the victory, you know, and here it was, you know, I wanted to throw it off because all those Chiefs fans, I thought Daniel might figure it out or DA might figure out corn dog, okay, so I wanted to throw it in the food way, but corn dog, that was their plan, that was their play, that was the little play they did that won the game, and I think the year before when we won the Super Bowl, that one was actually, this was the modified corn dog. But my question is, so I have a few questions for us. Do we have a plan for victory? You know, they had this plan. Theirs was called corn dog. You know, what is our plan? You know, we need a plan. We can't just go on with life and, you know, are we going to study the scriptures? Are we going to seek God every day? Are we going to ask him to lead us every day? If we ask him, when we get up in the morning, if we pray to him and say, lead us, we're going to think twice about what we're doing because we're going to have Jesus by our side and we're going to have it in our thoughts. He's always going to be by our side, but it's going to be in our thoughts that we're going to do the right thing. You know, we need to have that plan in place. Where is our focus? Is it on the Lord? Do we put him first in our lives? Do we know what we believe and study in the scriptures? Do we know? Or do we just come to church and think we know? But do we know? Do we know? If somebody was to ask us, do we know what our beliefs are? Do we live with faith, hope, and charity? Do we live our lives as God would want us to do? Do we look at others' needs over our own? You know, do we eat sauerkraut? You know, do we do those things that, do we help somebody if we're in a hurry? Do we stop and help them? Can others see the light of God shining through the things we do? Can they see His radiance, His love through the things we do? Do we seek and ask God every day to guide us? You know, that's so important. You know, if we will make this commitment, He will help us do what we should. You know, so let's make that commitment. So I'm going to ask you, and you can go from here. You don't have to tell me, but what is our corn dog? So what is our corn dog? So think of it as you go from here. What is that plan for victory? So put this plan in place so we can have victory. You know, we all want that victory. And I'm going to end here with Mosiah 3:21, and it says, "Therefore I would that you should be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in good works, that Christ, the Lord God omnipotent, may seal you His, that you may be brought to heaven, that you may have everlasting salvation and eternal life, through wisdom and power and justice and mercy of Him who created all things in heaven and in earth, who is God above all. Amen." So thank you very much.